Oh, we're just 2 weeks away from Christmas already. How another year has this quickly gone by, correct? So take your Bibles and turn, if you would, to Colossians chapter 3 once again, as we continue through our journey as the Apostle Paul was giving wisdom and instruction in the New Testament to the church at Corinth. When we think about the New Testament, we need to realize that the New Testament is still taking place. We are in the New Testament time. The church age began at the time of Pentecost, and so we're still a part of God writing the history of the New Testament. We're New Testament believers. Now, the New Testament books, or completion of them being given, has already been given. I don't believe that God has any new books for us. There are new prophets are going to come along, new prophets. We have the complete canon of the New Testament, completed with the book of Revelation that the Apostle John was given on the Isle of Patmos. So each thing that we read for the churches of the New Testament are for us. And God has a teaching for us. I've entitled today's message, Go Ahead and Let. Just go ahead and let. Go ahead and let. So when we think about go ahead and let, what does that mean? It means to allow. Allow what? Well, we'll look at that in just a little bit here. But some of the things that sometimes we allow to take place is we say, well, I'm just going to let my hair grow out. You ladies say that. If us men say that, we get in trouble with most of the ladies. If I were to tell my wife I'm just going to let my hair grow and grow and grow, I don't think that would work out too well. Sometimes ladies will say that. I just think I'm going to go ahead and let my hair grow out longer. And whenever my wife says that, I'm all for that. I like longer hair. I just always have. I always tell her, you remember when we were in Bible college? She said, yeah, that was before. That was back then. That was younger when I felt like I had the energy to take care of that. But her hair was all the way down here back in Bible college. So if y'all want to encourage her to do that, y'all take that on. I've already got my answer. Sometimes us men, we like to let our beards grow. We decide we're going to let our beards grow. A friend of mine, he used to often, at the beginning of hunting season, that was his tradition. He would let his beard grow until he got his first buck, and then he would cut it off, or he'd allow it to grow the whole time. Sometimes people might say, well, I'm just going to let my dogs run today. But today, if we do that, we'll get in trouble. Now, I remember growing up when my mom had neighbors who let their dogs run, and they got into mom's chickens. The first time she saw those dogs, they got a warning shot. The next time, there was no warning shot. Kent knows what I'm talking about. Or Larry being on a farm, you know what that's about. Now, that's a whole different culture we live in today. Somebody go to jail for that. But different things that in our lives that we're just going to allow. If you go to the park and just let your dogs run, I'm just going to allow them to do what dogs naturally do, that would probably not be well received by the other people at the park that day. In our passage today, we're told to let three areas of our life, let it take place. Allow this to be. When we look at the structure of the New Testament, in the original languages I was looking at a little bit this week, it's a little bit stronger than just let, but it's what we find in our passage today. Of course, when we do these instructions that we're given here, we must always remember that anything that we set out to do for the Lord is to be done by God's grace, by the power that God gives, by the strength of the Lord. Nehemiah said, when he built the wall, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Even in the opposition that Jeremiah faced, some of the Jews were saying, we better not do this. Some of the surrounding people or around Jerusalem were saying, you better not do that. And he kept on doing that. He said, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Knowing what we're doing for the Lord gives us strength to do the things that we do. In our passage, we've been going through Colossians 3, we encounter some places where it told us once in that, put off these things. And then we looked at some places where it said three times, it said put on. And now in verses 15 through 17, we're told to allow or to let this take place. Verses 9 through 14, we remember those putting on and putting off. But now we're told to let these things be. but they are not as always as easy to make them happen. Even though God says, let this be in your life, that is no reason for us to think, oh, it'll just be easy. As I said a couple weeks ago, as I often will say, we as Christians can never put our lives in spiritual cruise control. God has always wanted us to work out our salvation, work out the work of the Holy Spirit within us to be revealed out of us in our walk. Someone might say, oh, you Christians, you just take the Bible, you take God, you take Christ as a crutch, you're just leaning on that. The Christian life, oh, that must be so easy. You need to do on your... No, no. If you read the Word of God, if we read all the instructions that God gives us and tells us to do, the Christian life is no easy life if we're obedient. If we're walking and doing the things God tells us to do, it's certainly not an easy life. As we try to do all God tells us to do. Even so, let us move forward and see what God wants us to do and go ahead and let. Go ahead and let this take place in our lives. So stand as we give honor and reverence to God's word. Colossians chapter 3, verses 15 through 17. And we'll see some here of what God says, let. Let this take place. Let this happen in our lives as New Testament believers. Word of God says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and to the Father by Him. Father, we thank you that we can read your word and be instructed on what to do, to live our lives pleasing and honoring to you as an act of daily worship. But we thank you that we also read in the word of God that you are within us, that you're abiding in us, and you live in us, and you strengthen us to do whatever you call us to do. Father, not only you are the guide and instructor, but you also are the enabler. We thank you for that. And Father, we come today to worship you and honor you and to seek to do your will. And Father, we pray that you would help us to do the very things you tell us to do, to allow these things to be a part of our life as evidence that we're seeking to serve you and to come and take us to our full redemption in heaven. We look forward to that day, Lord. And we look forward to living our lives each day as an act of worship unto you. We pray now you meet with us. Teach us, guide us, and instruct us. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. So let what? Go ahead and let. Now, if we would say, like the commercial used to say, just do it. And that was, I think a lot of people took that too far. And people were saying, well, just do it. If you feel like doing it, do it. Well, certainly God's word doesn't teach that. If we did everything we just felt like doing, we would live a miserable life. We'd live a very disobedient life because the flesh is very strong. The world is very strong influence. The devil is very strong that influence. But the Bible says, greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world or he that's against us. So what does God tell us here to let to take place? Number one, we find in verse 15, the Bible says, let the peace of God. Let the peace of God. See that in verse 15, it says, and let the peace of God. Let the peace of God. In the Bible, we're told about the peace of God. The peace of God, and here in this verse, let the peace of God. But we're also told other things in the Bible about peace and God, how it's connected. In verse 4 and chapter 9 of Philippians, we find about the God of peace. The Bible says in Philippians 4, 9, the God of peace, may the God of peace be with you. And also in Romans chapter 5 and verse number 1, we find about peace with God. So we find about the God of peace and the peace with God, but here we find the peace of God. So it's all interconnected. And so this verse here is telling us something. Let the peace of God do what? Let the peace of God do what? What are the exact instructions that the Word of God says here? Number one, it says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. rule in your hearts. As I was studying this week, and I was looking at some of the Greek words and looking them up in my Greek study books, as I was looking them up this week in some other manuals that I have and some of it on computer, it was a little bit confusing. I actually called another pastor and we discussed some of this so I would have a little bit of insight in his instruction in the Greek language, which is far more than mine. And one translator said, it almost looked like this verse said, ruling, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. And so sometimes what happens in our English translations, words like let, the, are added to give clarity to the reading of the verse. And so they use the same word for let as the word rule. And so it was a little bit confusing for me, and I had to keep looking and keep getting some help with that. But what it's saying is let God's peace rule in your hearts, in the depths of our very life, in every area. The word rule here comes from the idea of one who sets as an empire at an Olympic event. During the time when the Bible was written, Olympics were already taking place. And the word rule here is just like the one who would set up at a tennis match. And he would rule whether that was in or whether it was out or whether this person had violated and stepped over the line. And that is guiding the whole game. And so what Paul is saying, the peace of God that's in our hearts, allow that peace of God to rule your hearts. What did I say earlier? That doing what the Word of God is not always what? Easy. Most of us in this room have raised children. If you've raised children and had children, there's some things that you can hear about, things that they're doing, or things that are going on, or maybe sometimes it's with your parents, or maybe it's other extended family members. But there's things that can come in our lives, and it feels like this peace that's in our life one day is just what? Pull right out. It's sucked right out. It sucks the life out of you when you hear something going on. And all of a sudden, you just don't have peace. But what God says is we need to remember that the God of peace who gives us peace, allow that to rule in your hearts or we will allow something else to rule. To be that empire that says to our lives, that's not all that defines you. That's not all that controls you. That's not all that God is doing. God is allowing this, but God is still with you. Dr. Edward Rizzuto said it this way. This is the heart peace which God in Christ demonstrated. It is the tranquility of the soul which is not ruffled by the adversary nor disturbed by fear. The peace that passes all understanding is given by Christ. That peace that says that I know that when the trumpet sounds or I know that when I die, I'm going to be with the Lord and nothing can take my salvation. I belong to the Lord. He belongs to me. God says let that be the umpire, be the ruling thing of our lives. But it says more. It says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Now notice the next phrase. To the which also you are called in one body. That's very interesting. That phrase is put with that. It's saying that our peace and our life affects not only us, but the body of Christ that we are in. It says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. To the which you are called in one body. Which body? That body of Christians. Fear and faith can grow as we display it. If we are constantly in fear and then we're in doubt, that fear and doubt can wear off on other believers of the family of Christ. So when we are having victory, that's why we share praises and thanksgivings. Because that's an act of worship to God, but it's also to encourage someone else to say to them, God is still at work. And if God's at work in their life, God can be at work in my life. And when God sees that there's peace in my life, even in the midst of adversary and adversity, God can say to that other Christian in our life, other Christian in our church, those people in the body, listen, God is going to take care of us. But it also says in that verse to be thankful. To be thankful to have that peace. I like what one author wrote when I read this week. He said, an ungrateful people is commonly tumultuous, agitated, restless, and dissatisfied people. Nothing better tends to promote peace and order than great gratitude to God for His mercies. When we have gratitude toward God, it tends to bring back peace. When we look at what we don't have, or we look at how the situation's not working out like we think it ought to work out, what does it do? It robs us of our peace. It robs us of our peace. If everything went the way that I had always wanted it to go, I would make a mess of my life. How about you? But God says, I don't just walk with you through the good times, but I'm walking with you through those difficult times. And it's in those difficult times we learn to trust God more and more and more. One of the things that's going to be great about this life that will be absent in heaven is faith. We won't need faith in heaven anymore because we'll have sight. But until then, we walk by faith, and our faith is in the God of peace, who brings the peace of God. But he says in verse number 16, he says the second thing about let. He says, let the word of God. Verse number 15 is let the peace of God. Verse number 16 is let the word of God. Let the word of God, and we're going to ask some questions about that also. Look at verse 16 again. Let's just read it together. Let the word of God dwell in us richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So again, the question, let the word of God do what? Number one, it says, let the word of God dwell in us. This word dwell means the same as we would know that it means. It means to reside in, to inhabit. So let the word of God be in us. Be in us, dwell in us. In John chapter 1, it says that Jesus came and dwelt among us. It means the word is the same word there that means the tabernacle. Just like God came and tabernacled in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit came and dwelt with the Israelites as they went through the wilderness. And then when they got in the promised land, he was still there. And when they built the temple, God's Spirit came and was with God's people. God is with us. And so the Bible says, how is God with us? He is, God is with us so plainly when the Word of God is with us. This Word is a great, is an awesome Word. This Word is the Word of God. This is the very Word of God. And we're to study it, we're to memorize it, and we're to live it, and we're to share it. This is Christ in the very form of words, the Word of God, the Word of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we're to let that Word of God dwell in us. But not only that, it's given a word of enhancement there. It's given a word of modification there. It says, let the word of God dwell in you richly. Let the word of God dwell in you richly. How? Richly. Last night, when I got home from hanging out with my son most of the day yesterday, I had supper. And after that, I had some very nice cookies that Connie was making yesterday. And let me tell you, they weren't poor cookies either. They were rich. They were rich. Is there some of those upstairs? No, I didn't eat them all. I was on a limitation. And they're called what? You didn't bring them. They maybe are not appropriate in the house of God. I think they're called Christmas crack. And some of y'all had that, haven't you? Another name, well, we won't go there. We'll leave that alone. They're rich. They have chocolate on top. They have nuts. They've come to have graham crackers on the bottom, some kind of sweet syrup, probably sugar. Rich. Rich. The Bible says about itself, let the word of God dwell in us richly, with the fullness of all that is. Richly means here with abundance, aboundness, fullness of the word of God. Dug deep in the truth of this blessed book. Never be content with knowing about the Bible. Never be content with how much you know about the Bible now. But always be striving for it to know the Word of God better. Always be just striving to know about it well enough that you could teach. Now I'm going to give the men of this church a challenge. To keep studying the Word of God, that if I were to get sick, you could fulfill the pulpit. That ought to be your goal, men. It ought to be every goal of every man that's been a Christian for a while, that you could get to know the Word of God well enough that if something happens and it couldn't be Sunday school taught here by me, that you should be able to step in and fill that. It should be the goal of every woman here that you could take the Word of God and teach a young lady that's just been saved about the Word of God. That ought to be your goal. You ought to never be satisfied with how much you know about the Word of God. We should never be satisfied with how much we've memorized the Word of God, because we never know how the wind of change will come, and we may be in a nation sometime in the future where they may make the Bible illegal. We don't know. Don't ever take our freedoms for granted. But the Word of God to be in us richly. Never be content with how much. Always seeking to know the Bible better. It's knowing the Word of God how we know the Savior more fully, more richly. I've heard stories about Gideons making Bible distributions in second and third world countries, how people have walked miles and miles just to get their own copy of the New Testament. And often we take our Bibles for granted. But Paul, through the power of the Holy Spirit, here not only says, let the Word of God dwell in us richly, but he says something else. In all wisdom. Meaning that we allow the Word of God to tell us how to live. That it's the Word of God that we get wisdom how to live. This is another way of Paul saying what he already said in chapter 2, but on the opposite way of saying that. In chapter 2, what we have of our chapter division in chapter 2, early in this letter, he told the believers, he told the Colossians, he's telling us still to warning us to avoid human philosophy, vain deceit, and traditions of men. You remember that Sunday when I preached and I had those lists of sayings and I said, in the Bible, not in the Bible, in the Bible, not in the Bible, and some of you thought there were some of them there, and they actually were ones that aren't in the Bible traditions of men. See how easy they can grip our lives? And God's telling us that we need to know the Word of God better and better, that when philosophies of the world come and traditions of man come and vain deceits come, we can recognize them from what God is saying. And so let the Word of God richly dwell in us, and then thirdly, let the Word of God flow out of us. Let the Word of God dwell in us. Let the Word of God be rich as it dwells in us. But don't stop there. Let the Word of God flow out of us. Look at a little bit more, verse 16. Let the Word of God, Lord of Christ, dwell in us richly with all wisdom. Then it says what? Teaching and admonishing who? One another. Did you catch that? Not only are we to use the Word of God to teach ourselves, but teach one another. Now remember, the way we interpret the Bible is to interpret, first of all, how it's received. So when they received it, not everyone at Colossians was able to read and write like we are. We take that for granted in our culture. So when they would come Sunday after Sunday and to worship and whatever Bible studies they had during the week, and they heard from the pastor, the leaders of the church, and they received that, how did they share it? They didn't take it and send it to somebody in a text message, did they? They didn't send somebody an email what the pastor read. They weren't able to send somebody a video and watch the pastor and stay at home. What they had to do, they had to learn it, and then they had to share it with others verbally. And we need to still keep doing the same thing. And the Bible says when we share the Word of God, what are we doing? We're teaching and admonishing one another. Teaching means to give them the teaching. Admonish us, now here's the teaching, use it in your life. Move forward with it, admonishing or encouraging one another. How? It says in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Now psalms were directly from the book of the Old Testament that we have, the book of Psalms. We sing them today still. We memorize them. They do the same thing. And hymns are songs that are heavenly in doctrine. A lot of our hymns that we have are very, very full of doctrine. But Paul goes on and says that's not the only thing that we can have. Some people think and have the opinion that Christians should only sing the old hymns of the faith. That's not even what the Word of God teaches. The Bible says hymns and spiritual songs. So some of our praise courses may be considered spiritual songs. Some of our children's songs are maybe considered not a hymn, but a spiritual song. And God's saying through Paul that we use all of those, and we use them for what purpose? We use them for teaching one another, admonishing one another, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So when we sing, thankfully God does not grade our singing. Because if he did, I would get a failing grade. I'm not a good singer. Love to sing, but not a good singer. My wife can testify to that. Others can testify to that. I've never been asked to do any solos in church. But I did share the stage once with the Gaithers. I really did. That was awesome. I was invited to preach at a church, and they didn't have a song leader, they didn't have a pianist, and they played the Gaithers over the speaker. So I shared the stage with the speaker, with the Gaithers. Let the Word of God flow out of us to teach us, instruct us, to admonish us, warning us and encouraging us, and to give us a song from the heart. Do you have a song with you in your heart? Do you have a song because of grace? Have you been saved? And is that saving knowledge that's in the depths of your heart cause you to sing, how good is our God? How great is our God? Jesus loved me just as I am. And when we sing, is it just words on a page to you? Or is it a reality of the grace that God's shown to you? Grace is a good acronym for grace. G-R-A-C-E. You've heard this maybe before. God's riches at Christ's expense. That's God's grace. God's riches given toward us at Christ, who went to the cross, his expense. That's grace. Because God's done to that. What can I do but sing and make a melody in my heart and a joyful, and hopefully the words would encourage someone else. Now, this third and final one is not as clear as let, but a pastor sometimes has to manipulate it and make it all fit. So each thing starts with the same point so we remember better. So number one, let the peace of God rule in our hearts. Number two, let the word of Christ dwell in us richly. But number three, let all that we do. Let all that we do be pleasing to him. Look at verse 17. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. All we do, whatsoever we do, do it in the name of the Lord. Remember when I said that what we're called to do is not something that's easy. If what we were called to do in the Christian life was easy, God wouldn't have needed to indwell us with the Holy Spirit. Because God, knowing who we are, knowing that we're sinful flesh, knowing that we're frail, knowing that we're not equal with him, we don't have the power to do what's right of ourselves. And so God implanted the Holy Spirit at the moment we're saved to strengthen us to do what he says to do. All. Everything. Do whatsoever you do as in the Lord, even when we don't feel like it. Even when no one is looking. Someone has said that integrity is who we are when no one's watching. Do all that we do, even when no one is looking. When we are just with our family. When we're tired and we're hungry. There's a new word for that the last few years. The word tired and hungry together, if you never heard it, it's hangry. Hungry and angry at the same time. And I've seen a lot of people do that with their children. Oh, you just got to understand, little Joey's tired. Oh, little Joey hasn't ate yet. And we make that as an excuse for little Joey and little Susie, and all of a sudden, we make excuses about bigger things. And all of a sudden, we're not doing it just for the children, we do it for ourselves. And the Word of God doesn't say, do whatever you do when you're in the right mood. Do whatever you do if you're not hungry. Do whatever you do if you're not in a hurry and you left home too late. Then God didn't say that. God says that all you do, all the time. What does he cover in all? He covers it. He explains it to us. He says, whatsoever you do in word. Help me out with this. Now, this time when you get to talk in church, sticks and stones may, but false word, more false words could never be spoken, could they? The Bible says, whatsoever you do in word. Words have power. Words have meaning. Words can either be like sunshine on a cold day or a drink of cold water to a thirsty person. Or words can be like a slap in the face. Words can be a sword that cuts to the very depth of the heart. I was preaching one time some years ago, and I had wrote a cantata, and I had introduced it to the choir director. And they said, yeah. She had introduced it to the choir. The choir said, yes, and we did it. And it came off fantastically, wonderfully. And then after that, I preached for about a half an hour. We changed the whole morning service. And I was just excited, and it going well. And folks were excited and happy. And a lady met me at the back door, and she asked me, I want to know something. Have we put the Lord on the back burner around here? Huh? Words are powerful. I heard another pastor preaching one time, and their church had a tradition where he would come into the church along with the choir would come into the church, and then he would come into the church and other parts, and there would be a procession at the beginning of the church, which some churches do, part of the worship. And he was coming down the aisle, and then he was so excited about all that was going on, and the lady stopped him about halfway up and pulled on his jacket and stopped him. And he said, yes, ma'am, what is it? What is it? She said, I just wanted you to know there's no toilet paper in the lady's bathroom. He was getting ready to preach. Now all you can think about was toilet paper in the bathroom. Like he was the only person who could change it. I'm talking about the clean toilet paper now, of course. Words. Then he says, not only let all you do in your words, but all you do in your deeds. Oftentimes our words lead to our deeds. Right words and right things will lead to the right deeds. Wrong words and wrong things will lead to the wrong deeds. Those acts of kindness that we discussed earlier in verse number 12, I find it interesting that there we find the singular. Let all you do in word or deed. Notice it doesn't say let all you do in words and in deeds. It's singular. Each word stands alone when we speak it. Each word stands alone. Each deed that we do, it stands alone. It stands by itself. I think what the Holy Spirit and Paul would have us to be reminded of is when we do a word that's wrong, it's out of place. When we do a deed that's sinful and it's not what God would have us to do, don't we look and say, well, that was okay because look at all this mountain of good words I have over here. So that time when I spoke wrong is not so bad because look at all my good over here. So it's not saying, look, whatsoever you do in words. It said, whatever you do in word or deed. I'm convicted as I was studying. I'm convicted again as I'm preaching it. Paul is saying, let this be our life as an act of worship. Then he says, what is the control of the words and deeds? What's going to control them? He says in this verse, what should control them is in the name of the Lord. That as Christians, we're left on earth as Christ's representatives. We're left here as Christ's representatives. Other people think about Jesus, what they see in us. That's a heavy responsibility. But that's the fact of the matter. And he says also, do your words and your deeds with thanksgiving. Some searching questions for us to ask ourselves. After a word or deed is these questions. Can I say that God approved of the word? Can I say that God approved of that deed? Can I say that that word or that deed drew other people to Christ or pushed them away? Can I say that I'm very thankful to God that I just did that? Can I say I'm very thankful to God I just said that? Sometimes we in our flesh, and I've done it, boy, I put them in their place. That person needed to hear that. Why? Because my flesh said they needed to hear that? Or because God asked me to say that? I told you it's not easy. It's not easy for me. It doesn't matter how much theological training we get. It doesn't matter how long we've been in church. It's word and deed day after day after day. It's opportunity day after day after day. Let's summarize. Our beliefs relate to our behavior. Our creed issues and our conduct. And our doctrine leads to our duty. The peace of God leads us to the Word of God. When we're at peace with God, we can say, I can go to God's Word because whatever He's going to say to me is good and right. The Word of God leads us to our words and actions of godliness. And our proper godly actions lead us to daily worship. Our worship is not just what we do here on Sunday morning. Our worship is every day of our lives. We can't cut somebody off in track and say, that was an act of worship. We can't badmouth another person and gossip. Say, that was an act of God. God led me to those words. Sometimes we as Christians, and myself included, we're so busy concentrating on what sins are in the world and sins are in another place or sins in another person, we forget about God still wants to deal with my own sins and transform me into a closer image of His Son. Let the peace of God dwell in your hearts this week. Let the Word of God continually dwell in our hearts. And let whatsoever we do in word or deed be pleasing to Him. Father, we pray You take this time of invitation. If someone here is not saved today, they're not sure that they have the peace of God living in their hearts, in peace with God, in peace in their spirit, that they know if they die tonight, they'd be in heaven. To be taken to be with You. Lord, if there's anyone that doesn't have that peace today, I pray that You give them the faith and the strength to come forward now and just say, I want to receive Christ to be assured of my salvation for my eternity to be settled. And then, Lord, if You've spoken to any of our hearts today and convicted us about whether we're living in peace, whether we're living in the richness of Your Word, or whether we're not living in word and deed that's pleasing to You, and help us to confess that and call upon You for cleansing and for strength to do better and moving forward to Your glory from this day forward. And I pray in Christ's name, amen.